I'm Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters. Tariffs, low interest rates, and a tight labor market. All of these have an impact on the world of equities and investments. But for some, the financial markets might be confusing ground to tread on, especially when it comes to how it impacts Idaho. So that's why we're talking with Jason Norris. He is a certified financial analyst with Ferguson Wellman, which is based in Portland. But Jason is no stranger to Idaho. He was born and raised in Boise and went to Boise State University. And he, in fact, has several clients from the Treasure Valley. Jason, thanks so much for coming in and talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's talk equities and investments, but broadly first, okay? So we want to keep it just simple to start off with. So how is the market doing overall right now?
The market's doing well overall. There's a lot of volatility, but stocks are up over 20% for the year. And while there is uncertainty, corporate profits are still relatively healthy. And so things are not bad.
So what about this talk of a recession? Because we're starting to hear rumblings of that. Are we potentially going down that path?
We are a day closer to the recession than we were yesterday.
Good answer.
However, there's an old adage that says expansions don't die of old age. There's something has to bring an economic expansion to an end. Just because we're 10 years into this expansion we've seen, we don't anticipate a recession next year, more so maybe 2021, 2022. But the tariffs and slowdown in Europe and economic growth, there's more of a concern over the last couple of weeks than there was, let's say, 6 months ago.
So I think we all, you know, very much remember the Great Recession and what happened, you know, 2006, 2007, and, you know, going into that and you know, recovering from that and being in the point that we're in now. Do we need to fear having the type of recession that we had that, frankly, feels like just yesterday? Or are recessions different?
Recessions are different. If you look at the 2008 recession, there was a major credit bubble. Housing got really extended. People were living off second mortgages, maxing out credit cards. So credit became an issue. And when recessions are started by credit bubbles or financial bubbles, they're deeper and the recoveries are slower and longer. And so what we've seen since that recovery is we've seen below average growth for the last 10 years. However, we don't see excesses in the economy. Corporate credit is high, but consumer credit is not. The labor market's very tight. Wages are going up. So to find that bubble that needs to burst to lead us to the magnitude of recession we saw in 2008, we don't see it. Our anticipation, if there were a recession, it may be something as we saw in the early 2000s or even in the early 90s where it's brief and narrow.
Because I think there is such a fear of, when we say the word recession, we all go back to 2008.
Yeah, and we see that, understand that, but what we try to communicate to our clients is we don't expect that just because things are different, the economy is healthy, the banking system is healthier, and credit isn't extended, especially on the consumer side. You'll hear concerns about student loans, but when you think back of the housing bubble, which happened here in Boise and all over the country, mm-hmm. and then the crash, it was a different type of recession than the previous few we saw in early 2000, early 90s.
Let's talk about Idaho and Idaho companies in particular, because there are several publicly traded companies. We've got Micron, HP, Boise Cascade, and Lamb Weston. So let's start with Micron, though, because there was a slowdown earlier this year when it came to capital expenses. So how did that affect the company, and then how is Micron doing now?
So looking back 12 months ago, major spending in the technology space were driven by Facebook, Amazon, Microsoft, building up data centers. And that came to a major slowdown because they built up a lot of capacity. So there was a surplus of chips that Micron sells. And so that hit their earnings. If you look in 2018, Micron was earning about $12 a share. This year it's going to be close to $4. So there is a decline. We're starting to hear that spending is starting to pick up, and 2020 should be a fairly good year for the semiconductor space. But it highlights the volatility of the end markets that Micron's in. It's a great company, and they're managing through this cycle pretty well, and they continued to generate profits, where if you look back over the previous cycles, they've they would report losses.
So you brought up tariffs a little while ago briefly. So there were analysts that predicted that Micron would be hit especially hard by President Trump's tariff battle with China. And that's because the company is one of the biggest suppliers of data storage technology in China. And it would be in the crosshairs of any retaliation if U.S. tariffs were to go into effect. So what's your take on that? But also outside of Micron, what about how do tariffs affect the Idaho market in other ways? So let's start with Micron first.
So with Micron, one of their customers is Huawei, the telecommunications company of China. And there's uncertainty if the tariffs and the initiatives put by the current administration will allow U.S. companies to sell to Huawei. So that is a question.
That could have a major impact.
Exactly. And it's having an impact across the whole semiconductor space. And then second, if there are any hiccup in capital spending because costs go up, if telecom equipment goes up, costs go up, does demand slow? So then that affects the whole supply chain. So there is a lot of an increased uncertainty, and tech investors have to realize that. And the companies, I was fortunate enough to be in Silicon Valley a couple of weeks ago meeting with semiconductor companies, and first question they'd ask investors is, tell us when this ends. When is the uncertainty end? Because they don't know.
And you're like, we wish we knew.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm here to find out from you. And so it's on a dollar basis, it might not be huge. But if you're running a business and you don't know what your supply chain is going to look like, are you going to spend to expand? And that uncertainty maybe even be more of a factor than the actual dollar cost of the tariffs.
So what about tariffs affecting the rest of Idaho and our economy here in Idaho?
So you mentioned HP, so it would affect HP as well because they have some supply chains out of China. I don't know about the Boise plant specifically.
But HP as a whole.
But HP as a whole. Another area, you know, agriculture is a big...
That's huge.
And I think I saw that Idaho export, 20% of ag exports out of Idaho go to China. And while those, I guess, crops have not been targeted, we've seen what's happened to the soybean farmers in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know state of Idaho and the farmers here may have a better sense of what's going on, but that could be another longer-term risk depending on how this plays out. And, you know, our anticipation that we thought this stuff would be resolved, we just are now hoping it's resolved before the election.
We're talking with certified financial analyst Jason Norris of Ferguson Wellman. Okay, so let's talk about interest rates because they're low, but in Idaho, particularly in Boise, and you having grown up in Boise, the housing market looks a lot different, I'm sure, than it did when you were growing up. One of the most competitive in the country. So what's your analyst take on this? Like, I mean, who wins, who loses?
The home buyer wins when the cost of buying a home is less. But then there are two factors. Financing is cheaper now, but home prices in Boise keep going up. So it's a benefit for those who are out in the market and can afford to buy a home because your mortgage, your 30-year mortgage payment is going to be less because of lower interest rates. So that'll keep demand into the market. And the key is just supply. Are there homes out there? And are they priced appropriately? And hear a lot of anecdotal evidence that, you know, things are getting tighter, especially closer in the Boise. My parents live out in Meridian, and they just keep growing, and the homes just keep going up right there.
Well, and part of it, I think, goes back to the recession that we had. When, as you mentioned, I mean, people were on a second mortgage. They were in homes that they couldn't afford, and a lot of people learned their lesson. So if people aren't selling, then that's an issue.
Exactly. So it is all about supply and demand. If there is less supply, then prices are going to move higher. And, you know, but there's a lot of demand. I fly into Boise several times a month, and a couple of weeks ago, I noticed there's a real estate kiosk in the airport.
Right. Isn't that crazy?
So they know there's a lot of people wanting to move here. Mm-hmm. And so as long as, if they can get the houses built, then people are going to keep coming here. It's a great place to be.
Let's talk about values-based investing. What is that? And why do you focus particularly on that?
So values-based investing, I'll take a step back, is when you invest into companies that are doing good. So years ago, there was a the investing was called social responsible investing. And it was a very small movement. It was bigger in Europe. But more and more investors, especially institutions, colleges, universities, are looking at wanting to invest in companies that are doing good for the environment, doing good for social governance and corporate governance. And the new nomenclature is ESG, Environmental, Social, and Governance Investing. Mm. And our firm, about 2 years ago, we launched a strategy called the GSI, Global Sustainable Investing, to focus on this area. We work with a lot of institutions, mid-sized foundations, two community colleges here in Idaho, that are having their donors as well as their boards wanting to move their investments. They don't want to invest in coal companies. They don't want to invest in these certain areas. They just want to invest, want good investments, but they want those companies to be treating their employees well, strong corporate governance, not polluting the environment. And so we saw a need for this kind of a strategy, and so we launched it, and it's been very successful. A little slower here in Idaho getting off the ground, but it's relatively new to a lot of investors because the issues are, well, if I'm excluding certain companies to invest in, then that might hurt my investment performance. And so there's that overhang of getting people, more people involved in that type of investing.
Are you seeing it with younger people wanting to really make that push of, if I'm going to invest my money, I actually, yes, I, of course you want to make money. I mean, let's be honest. But yet, you want to make sure that your money is being placed somewhere that is helping out the whole, maybe not just yourself.
Exactly. We thought going into this that we would see the most demand from millennials or younger people. It was broad-based. And maybe that's because being in Portland, which is a little more liberal, that could
just
be
a tad.
Just a tad. But we saw broad-based demand across our current client base who changed their investment strategies. And to be honest with you, it's been good for new business. We have got a lot of new business from individuals and as well as institutions that want to invest this way. You know, we hope we get a nice younger client base or demographic coming into our firm, but it's been popular across multiple demographics.
Well, I would think it would make corporate businesses maybe relook at how they do business.
Exactly. And it is making companies be more proactive because they're seeing pushback from investors, as well as just wanting to do good and attracting the right type of worker. And especially in the technology space, when you're hiring younger people and they are really focused on these initiatives to strong corporate governance, the good steward of the environment, and then treating their employees well, and they want to retain workers, and you know, investors are finding that attractive to invest in.
I want to thank you so much for coming in and talking to us today. Our guest today, Jason Norris, he is a certified financial analyst with Ferguson Wellman in Portland, born and raised in Boise and has clients here in the Treasure Valley. Thanks again for coming in today.
Thank you.
I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters.